up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to Dynasty Happy Hour. Here's a voice you haven't heard in a while. It's me, your host, Doug Eddy. I still exist. I'm alive, and I am back just for 1 week, and then I'm gone for a couple of weeks. So I guess I'm guest hosting, kind of. I don't know what's going on at this point in time, but I'm here with my co-host, Tim Keller, as well as Justin McCaslin. Tyler had to work this evening. How dare him make a living with a child on the way? What? The audacity of that man. I can't believe it. He actually made me come back on the last day of my vacation. No, he didn't twist my arm. I wanted to come back. I've been a little rusty. I haven't been on the podcast for a little while. The month of August is an absolute show. I've been gone for weekends away from my family, for a wedding, for drafts, and then we're on vacation on Cape Cod. It's been just a crazy wild August like it is every year. But I'm back for now. Then I'm gone for a couple weeks. So Tim, Justin, and Tyler are going to hold it down. We've got just a ton of news, and I really want to roll into that here in a moment. But before we do, you heard at the top of the show, make sure you check out TrophySmack.com. Use code DHHRING. Get that free championship ring. Most of us have probably done our redrafts by now. If not, you may have one here in the next couple of days. As the season starts on Thursday, boys, are 4 days away from the season kicking off, and I just can't wait until next Sunday when I get to sit around, do nothing, watch football all day because the Pats play the Steelers at 8:30, so I'm staying at my aunt's house from noon until whenever that game ends. It's going to be 12 hours of just pure football porn for me. I'm going to tilt about all my fantasy football teams. Maybe we have Zeke in uniform and Melvin Gordon in uniform by then. Who knows? But we're going to get into the news now. And there has been some news and updates on Ezekiel Elliott's contract status. There's been some whisperings from some insiders that it looks like the Zeke Elliott deal may be done as early as Labor Day, which if you're listening to this, it probably already is Labor Day. So happy Labor Day. Don't wear white after tomorrow. It's illegal, I've heard. yeah, have a good time at your barbecue. Hopefully your weather's nice. But it looks like Zeke's going to sign a deal. They only have two running backs on the roster. They cut pretty much everyone except for Tony Pollard and Alfred Morris. To a lot of people's surprise, they cut Mike Weber, Darius Jackson. So to me, I think the signs here are pretty obvious that Zeke is not going to miss any regular season games. Tim, are you feeling good vibes on Zeke Elliott right now?
I am. And as a matter of fact, Tyler sent me an offer for Zeke Elliott in the league I own him in.
Ooh.
And he wanted to try to hammer it out before we podcast tonight. I mean, he sent it 10 minutes before we were supposed to, you know, jump on here. So I think he was just trying to pressure sell me into something.
Probably. It sounds like a Tyler move.
I wanted to look into it a little bit and go through rosters and everything like that. But yeah, I like what I'm hearing from the Dallas Cowboys and the insiders of that team. It does sound like Zeke will be back. I've kind of thought this all along.
Same.
And yeah, you mentioned it. Once cut day came and passed, and we realized, they got two running backs on the roster. They probably had a strong feeling themselves. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, Mike Weber got put on the practice squad.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's gone. They made sure to keep him there. But I've been saying for a long time, I think that he was just sitting out for the preseason, working towards getting a deal done. I think he held the leverage just based on winning games, and they have a really good chance. It's just pretty much them and Philadelphia for their division. So, I mean, it's going to be whoever tops each other in those games. And despite that, they could wind up being in the wild card for the playoff either way. Yeah. So they've got a really good team this year. They're going to get that deal done because they want to win in this window.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, well, they have all these guys under contract because a lot of these guys are free agents at the end of the year, so it's going to be interesting. They really have a win now mentality. So yes, I agree, a deal will get done. Now, on the flip side of that coin, you have Melvin Gordon, who's been holding out for all season. And today, the Chargers GM, whose name escapes me, I really don't care who it is actually, he said that they're not going to have any more contract talks with Melvin Gordon until after the season's over. They gave his agent permission to seek a trade. Let's not get into what we think is going to happen. I personally think that Melvin Gordon is going to play at some point this season. I don't think he's going to pull a Le'Veon Bell and sit out the whole season because there's like the years accrued and to be a free agent. It's a different set of circumstances than it was with Le'Veon Bell. So I think Gordon may miss some time, and maybe he comes back in week 6, week 10. I'm hoping so, because I've taken the discount on him in some redraft leagues. I don't own him anywhere in Dynasty, but I've taken the discount in redraft leagues, just hoping that, you know what, maybe he figures it out, like, hey, I'm actually losing a ton of money here, so I should probably just report and get into camp. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Melvin Gordon here in the next handful of days before the season starts. So let's keep it with running backs. So the big news over this weekend. So Saturday we had cut down day. Everyone had to get down to 53. We saw some pretty notable players get released. One of them was LeSean McCoy. So the Buffalo Bills moved on from LeSean McCoy. I don't know why it took them this long, to be completely honest. They saved themselves like $6.5 million in salary cap. They should have done it months ago. But anywho, so McCoy, rumored to go to teams like the Patriots, which I thought was weird, the Chargers, there was one other team, but he ends up going to the Chiefs. Now, this has kind of put Twitter on tilt, because there's the Damian Williams people, there's the Darwin Thompson people, there's the what's LeSean McCoy going to do people. So, Justin, give me your spin on what you think might happen with this backfield. If you own Damian Williams in Dynasty, A, you didn't have to spend much to get him. Like, you probably own him on the cheap, right? Are you afraid that your trade window for Damian Williams might have closed? Are you like, you know what? I think it's Damian Williams. He's the guy, and McCoy's there just in case they need him.
I think it's that way. I think your trade window did close on Damian Williams, because with that acquisition, the Chiefs showed that, hey, you know, we do want to have multiple guys in this backfield that can do different things, or the same thing in his case. I am not scared of LeSean McCoy, and I'm in the camp of screw LeSean McCoy, because he ruined Endgame for a lot of people. So I hope I never wish injury on him. So I don't wish the injury. I hope he gets cut again. So there's my thoughts on LeSean McCoy.
Which could happen.
Yeah, he's pretty much washed. I don't expect him to come into Kansas City and then just be like old Shady. Because, like, what we saw out of him last year in Buffalo, unless it was just an effort thing, then and of course, I will caveat this with, I did not watch Buffalo play last season.
That line was bad, and he was dinged up a lot last year. Yeah. I still think he has a little bit of juice left.
Mm-hmm. 3.2 yards per carry or something like that.
It was ugly.
Pretty poor. So I'm not expecting him to come in and just take over by any means. I think I saw someone put that they think it to be like a 60-30-10 split between him and Damian and Darwin. Yeah. With Damian being the lead in that. So it's really, and I think that's probably pretty close to true. It's going to be ugly, and I don't think we're going to get what we've had in the past with Kansas City, where you just start the guy and it's a slam dunk.
So, Tim, on the flip side of this coin, now we have the Buffalo Bills backfield. They seem to really like Devin Singletary. They still have Frank Gore there, because he's the fantasy cockroach and he never dies. And then they have the guy that almost everyone forgets about, and that's TJ Yeldon, who has had success here in the NFL. So, Tim, on the other side, the Buffalo coin, do you think it's they're just going to hand the job to Singletary, or are they just bound for a running back by committee there as well?
I think they're bound for the running back by committee. As a matter of fact, in some late redraft leagues, I've kind of put the chip down on the cheap piece there of Frank Gore. Get him late and just hope you get some sort of production out of him. Like you said, he's the cockroach. The man shows up. There's not much expectation for him, and he gets 1,000 yards out of the deal. So I'm hoping he can repeat that again. But yes, they definitely think they have something in Singletary. I would expect that at least to start the season. It's my personal feeling that Frank Gore is going to kind of play the, air quotes here, lead back guy.
Right,
he's going to be the veteran that they can lean on and trust. And as Singletary learns day in and day out from seeing Frank Gore, how he acts in practice, how he acts, you know, the days leading up to games, the days after games, how he rehabs his body, then they'll start to, you know, shift more onto his plate as well. As far as Yeldon goes, I'm kind of surprised they kept him around. I mean, I guess when you let McCoy go, that kind of leaves the door open to keep a guy like Yeldon. But there were a lot of reports that, you know, they didn't really see much in Yeldon, you know, this summer. But I've always felt that Yeldon's kind of been criminally underused in the league. I think that he does have value. We'll just have to see what the Bills do. I don't have a huge hope for it, but weirder things have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you spent a mid to late second round pick on Devin Singletary, sometimes he might have slipped into your third round in Superflex leagues. That's looking like a pretty savvy pick. I think him and Justice Hill were in that same kind of draft area, and I think those are both looking like good picks. The Ravens Ken Dixon went to IR. They got rid of like every other running back. So it's pretty much like Gus Edwards, Mark Ingram, and Justice Hill. And to me, like the guy with the most juice in that backfield is Justice Hill. So I think he's going to get a lot of work here in his rookie season. I know in redraft leagues, he's been a target. I've been trying to get in the double-digit rounds every single time, especially in, well, most formats are PPR, but I still play in one goddamn standard scoring league. Anywho, let's not talk about that. All right, so we have the Houston Texans making mad moves. They've got no GM, but they don't seem to have a problem shaking up their roster. So the first thing that they did, well, actually not the first thing. The most important thing they did for that franchise was trade a lot of future assets for Laramie Tunsil's Tunsil. To protect Deshaun Watson's blind side. So I think that was a really good move. Now, in that deal, the Dolphins threw in Kenny Stills, which I thought the writing was on the wall after Flores played like 8 Jay-Z songs in a row at practice after Kenny Stills kind of called him out. So that was interesting. Also interesting that Kenny Stills is on the Texans because if I remember correctly, their owner, not a big fan of the whole kneeling and all that kind of jazz. So I thought that was really – that's a curious fit. So – I like him as a player on that team, though. So they got Kenny Stills in the deal with Laramie Tunsil. And they also added Carlos Hyde. Now, Carlos Hyde is on his, what, fifth team in 2 years? And he's going to pair up with Duke Johnson. The Texans released Demaryius Crockett. They release Caron Higdon. So it's pretty much Hyde and Duke Johnson. Tim, any value at all for Carlos Hyde? Are you just trying to like trying to seek the Duke Johnson owner and just trying to get whatever you can for him? Because I think Carlos Hyde is we talked about LeSean McCoy being washed. Mm-hmm. I think Hyde might even be more of a scrub than LeSean McCoy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you still have Carlos Hyde on rosters, I try to make the sell. Be like, you know what?
Take a third and Duke, walk
Duke,
out the door.
I don't know if Duke can handle all of the work. They're going to give Carlos Hyde something. He's going to be used, but we should definitely I'll take a third.
Hyde caught 50 passes once.
Yeah.
CJ beat hard checkdowns.
Yeah. I am out on Carlos Hyde. And it's all systems go for Duke there. I like Duke.
Do you think this – I know Deshaun Watson is pretty much everyone's – I would say consensus number two dynasty quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. So now he gets Tunsil. He's got Kenny Stills. Does this do anything to Tyler's favorite, one of his favorites, Will Fuller or Kiki QT? Does this speak to the health concerns of those two players?
I think that's exactly what this move was. This was a twofold thing. For Miami, they wanted to try to get rid of his salary, and they did that. Houston said, hey, we like this speed downfield option that these two type of guys give us, but neither one are ever healthy, at least for an extended period of time.
Right.
Kenny Stills can be that guy for us. Yeah, I don't think they have like some major crazy master plan for Kenny Stills by any means, but yeah, he's an insurance policy for sure for them.
And yeah. he's such a better receiver than he was ever given the ability or the not the ability, the opportunity to be in Miami. Because it's just been such a mess there. I mean, the Tannehill era and then everything.
Oh, they had Jay Cutler, though.
I mean, it's just been
fresh
so rough.
And
Kenny Stills is he's good enough that he could work himself into that wide receiver two position if Will Fuller misses any time. I think that Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson have chemistry, and that touchdown chemistry is something that's going to keep him on the field because, let's face it, that's all he does is score TDs. So I still really like Fuller, but I would be grabbing Stills or trading for him as insurance if I was a Fuller owner.
Yeah, I actually like this move. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is up there, you know, upper tier echelon of your wide receivers in Dynasty. But I actually like this move for Hopkins, too, because the more protection that Watson gets, the more talent that's around Hopkins is only going to help him, too. So I actually I like this as a little bit of a bump.
Yeah, that Tunsil trade's
for
awesome.
Hopkins. Yeah. I mean, they had to give up, like, a lot. But you know what? They're also in a win-now window, too. They traded Jadeveon Clowney. They got some stuff back for him. If you're into IDP, cool. I love you. But yeah, so the Texans just making crazy, crazy moves. So I just want to take this next section to bring up some names. We're going to talk a little bit of IR, players that have been on IR. So especially this time of year when you need to cut down those rosters, when you're, you know, you got Scott Fish tweeting at you and he's like, Doug, cut down your roster in Capitalist Pigs too. And I'm like, I'm going to. So I was able to IR some players in that to make up some space. But also some notable names that we want to go over here too that got released and then got picked up to some interesting spots. So the first one I want to talk about is an actual injury. Unfortunately, Ronnie Anderson from Justin's Oklahoma Sooners. Retore his ACL, the same ACL that he just tore. So his I think his career is potentially in jeopardy.
It's seriously in jeopardy.
He had that one flash in the preseason, and everyone's like, oh, man, there's Rodney Anderson. And then all of a sudden, there goes Rodney Anderson. So the Washington Redskins released Samaje Perine, who I thought was going to be a thing, and drafted him over Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara in that rookie draft. Whoops. Yeah. So he signs with Cincy. So he's going to pair back up with Joe Mixon. You know, they've got Trayvon Williams, who's hurt. They've got Rodney Anderson, who's obviously going to miss the season. And they got Giovanni Bernard. So I picked up Perine in a deeper dynasty league for free as a free agent today because I own Mixon and Gio. So I was like, all right, I'll pick up Samaje and we can have a nice little reunion. And maybe things will go better this time around. I don't know. But I like that pick for Cincinnati. One of the guys that I thought was kind of a shocker to get cut was Ricky Seals-Jones. Got let go by Arizona, and I was told that he was Cliff Kingsbury's guy. Like, he recruited him, and da-da-da-da-da. But crusty-ass old Charles Clay wins him out, and RSJ gets released, but he gets picked up by Cleveland, who is just stockpiling athletic tight ends. They've got David Njoku. They got Demetrius Harris. They did pick up Rico Gathers, who's suspended for a game or two, and now they have RSJ, so I think that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. We talked about Demarie Crockett getting released from the Texans. He landed on Oakland's practice squad. We got Keelan Doss, who is a Hard Knocks favorite, who actually looked really good in the preseason. Not sure necessarily why the Raiders cut him. Whatever. Yeah. But he was picked up with Jacksonville, and he's on their practice squad to go with their 78 receivers that are all kind of similar. Speaking of Jacksonville, a big draft process favorite was Divine Ozigbo. Didn't get invited to the combine. Looked really good. I think it was in the Senior Bowl and tested really well. So he got let go by the New Orleans Saints and picked up by Jacksonville. They put Alfred Blue on IR. So that's kind of an interesting spot if Leonard Fournette ends up with an injury, which is probably likely to happen. Mm-hmm. So they've got Divine Ozigbo to help back him up. You know, some other familiar names. Wendell Smallwood went to Washington. That doesn't really move the needle for me at all because he's Wendell Smallwood. J.D. McKissic to Detroit to reunite with Darrell Bevell. He's actually got more receptions than he does rushing attempts in his career. Tim, does this put any kind of dent in Kerryon Johnson, or are you like not even worried?
Not at all.
I didn't think so. Me neither.
All day.
Yeah, we got Braxton Berrios, former New England Patriot, going to the rival Jets. Deshaun Kizer, one of Tyler's guys, to the Raiders, who are now carrying four quarterbacks at the moment. I think Mekanek is going to get released in that one because Gruden just has an insane love for Nathan Peterman.
He does.
So I don't think Peterman's going anywhere. Speaking of some injury news, so it looks like N'Keal Harry may be a candidate for the IR in his rookie year because of a toe injury, which would be very sad. So keep an eye on that one. Some guys that are on IR, we've got Equanimeous St. Brown. His season is over. Again, another Tyler favorite. It's not coming up good for those Notre Dame boys right now, Tyler. Sorry, not sorry. We've got Ken Dixon, like I said earlier, is gone on IR. Jerick McKinnon, his season is over. He had a setback in his knee, which is not good. This is 2 years in a row now that he's going to miss. So he's on season-ending IR, so you can not necessarily stash him per se, but open up a roster spot and put him in your IR slot. And also for the Patriots, Cameron Meredith is on IR. He is eligible to return after week 6, which could be an interesting kind of middle of the season-ish return for the Patriots if he can ever be a thing again. You know, he had that great year with the Bears, and then he's just gone through a litany of repercussions with his ACL. Also, Demaryius Thomas was kind of a surprise release for a lot of people. I've been saying the whole time I would be surprised if he made the squad.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, he got released. It looks like once he's going to come back. I guess there was Denver Broncos were interested in reuniting with him, but I think he's going to come back for the Pats once that veteran, there's like a window they can come back, and it's the renegotiated deal. It's a really weird set of circumstances.
Kind of messed up, really.
It is incredibly messed up for they pretty much bone the veteran players with that whole process. But it looks like Demaryius Thomas is going to be back with the Pats, who looked pretty good. I mean, 2 touchdowns, 7 receptions for 80 yards in the last preseason game. I know it's a preseason game, but if he can be healthy, that would help the Pats quite a bit. Josh Gordon, he's eligible to play week 1. So if you've been stashing him for 8 years in Dynasty, guess what? You may actually get a full season out of him. Now is the time. He's going to play in week 1. You know, he looked a little rusty in that preseason game, but yeah, it's wheels up on Josh Gordon. Flash is back. Did I forget anything, guys? I know there was a lot of player movement. Was there anything that you guys that was on your radar and players that might have landed on a spot or got cut or anything like that? Maybe some of your personal favorite players where you were disappointed where they got cut?
No, I mean, the McCoy thing really kind of had a lot of people talking on Twitter. That really kind of lit Twitter up there for a bit.
Yeah, it did.
But I can't think of anybody that really kind of surprised me. After watching the preseason, you know, I thought I had a pretty good feel for...
John Kelly got cut. I was bummed about that. The Rams only keeping three running backs, I think, says a lot about how Todd Gurley is.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? That's very true.
That is good. And I wound up getting him, I think, in the fourth round of a redraft league last night. And
God, I would drool all over the place.
I'm so pumped for it.
I got him in the middle of the second, and I was pumped.
Yeah, it was one of those like, oh my gosh, everybody totally missed that he's still available. And so... I almost paired him up with Gordon, too, but I do not feel comfortable about Gordon coming back for any reasonable amount of time.
That's fair.
But, talking about cuts, I'm actually happy that Samaje Perine was cut from Washington because I feel that there are other places that he could be better utilized. And my buddy Andy and I were talking this morning, and he's the biggest OU fan I know. And he said, you know, it would make sense if he gets with Cincinnati because, you know, they love OU players and reunite him with Joe Mixon. And looky there, it happened. So,
boom.
I am happy for him because, you know, you and I, Doug, we're Samaje Perine guys.
Absolutely. I thought Bruce Anderson getting cut by Tampa, I tweeted about it. Like a lot of people were using like third round, late second, early third round rookie picks on him at one point. And it's just, I think this is one of the things like UDFAs, like just don't use rookie draft picks on UDFAs because the chances of them hitting is slim to none. Speaking of the Kenny Stills trade too, is it Preston Williams season? Is he going to start on the outside opposite Devontae Parker?
Parker's
probably only going to be there for this year and that's it. So I picked up Preston Williams. We had our auction in my home dynasty league. So he was one of the players that didn't get nominated. So I swooped in and got him for $800K, which is just above the minimum bid. And I put 5 years on him because I was like, you know what? Like, if he becomes a thing, like, that's a bargain deal. So I picked up Preston Williams. I put him on my taxi. I got Dawson Knox. My boy looks like he might start week one, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up Kahale Waring for cheap, too, who might be an IR candidate, but whatevs. I got to be patient with tight ends.
I will say this. With Jeff Driscoll getting sent to the IR, Ryan Finley's a great, great guy to just stash or go pick up on the cheap now in a trade because if something happens to Dalton. Ryan Finley's looked good in the preseason. I'd like to see him in some regular season action. Not that I'm saying I want anything to happen to Andy.
Sure. Right, Jarrett Stidham won the second QB job in New England. They let Brian Hoyer go. And I thought Stidham looked really good in the preseason.
He did. I was impressed.
Yeah.
A lot of these rookie QBs I thought looked pretty darn good.
Yeah, they weren't half bad. And just to update on Bruce Anderson, he did make the Tampa Bay practice squad. But if you listen to this podcast of just a few weeks ago, you're welcome for going out and picking up Dare Ungabawale. Yes, he was free, and I hope you got him before he started to get expensive. It'll be really cool if he carves out a role with that team and ends up being like a thing.
Andre Ellington.
He got cut though.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, Ellington's gone. It's just Barber, Rojo, and Dare.
I'm telling, that is probably the easiest running back quarter to crack to the starting lineup. If you really want to talk about it. Like, I'm totally out on Rojo. I'm so done, and it's sad because I was in on him in his rookie year. But
I was
going to
say, you were one of the guys
pumping
him a little.
I would love to have Tyler on right now so he could try to sell me on Rojo again for the 18th time.
I can't.
I mean, at this point, it's like, I mean, trying to sell ice to an Eskimo. Like, come on. No. I don't need it.
I can't wait till the day Tyler's ready to, you know, admit that one. And we'll have some sad music to play in the background and...
It's so hard to say goodbye to Ronald Jones. We can just pour out 40s. It'll be great.
It wasn't terrible, Doug. It wasn't terrible.
I try. All right, so that does it for news and updates and all that kind of stuff. Now, obviously, next week the guys will have anything that that happens. I mean, we're actually going to have like football games to talk about next week.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not because I'm going to be watching the New England Patriots drop banner number 6 at home against them Steelers. Let's go. I can't wait. So, Tim, you did a little exercise this week. So I'm going to hand the pod over to you. I'm running with the baton. I'm holding it behind me as I'm still running, and you're coming up behind me, and you're going to grab it, and you're going to take it from here. So let's go.
Ooh, sounds nice. Well, yes, we wanted to talk about predictions. I mean, not, you know, we did our hot take episode, things like that, but we wanted to talk about the 2019 Dynasty Happy Hour Fantasy Awards. So we set out a poll via Twitter. I put it up on the Facebook page, and we asked you guys to vote. And thank you guys for the great turnout we had. And we're gonna go over some of the results. We're gonna do this. I don't know. We'll do it like a game show or award show style, where I'll read the category, I'll read the nominees, and then we'll read off the winner, and we can talk about that a little bit. Before we get into this, I wanted to talk about our new sponsor, MyBookie.com. Guys, the football season is upon us. We are hours. We can count hours now. Hours till the real NFL action is upon us. Go to MyBookie.com right now. Sign up. Get yourself an account. They match your first deposit up to $1,000 at 100%. Deposit $1,000. They put another $1,000 in your bank to play with. Now, obviously, there's rules and regulations on how many times you have to use that money before you can take the payouts. But go over there, check them out. They have the referral fees. If you get over there, you make your deposit, you start cashing in after week one, tell your buddies about it, get them in, earn yourself a little extra coin for bringing somebody else in as well. It's a great site, great, great betting over there. They got the $20 risk-free bets for a first-time better. Use the code HAPPYHOUR when you sign up. Let them know that we sent you. That is mybookie.com. So, to anybody that was on Twitter and saw the poll we put up, we had the categories of best quarterback, best running back, best wide receiver, top tight end, MVP, comeback player of the year, rookie of the year, and sleeper. Now, the sleeper category was all write-ins. We didn't do, a multiple choice, but we did have the write-in option on all of the categories. So, you know, it made for a little extra tallying I had to do. But luckily, in those categories, none of the write-ins won. So, I'll let you guys know who some of the write-ins were after we announced the winners here, though. So, the top quarterback award, the nominees are Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Baker Mayfield. Would either one of you like to tell us who you voted for and maybe why?
You go ahead, Justin.
I actually, and this will be a big surprise to everybody, I actually voted for Watson.
So did I.
Because, I mean, with that acquisition of Tunsil and Duke Johnson as a more effective running back than Lamar Miller, in the sense that he's also a pretty dang good receiver out of the backfield. And then obviously adding Stills to that already stellar receiver core. Like, I think he's just got almost the best weapons in the league. That defense is still going to be pretty gnarly as long as J.J. Watt stays healthy, and their division's not crazy difficult. So, it wouldn't surprise me if they put up some pretty stellar points this year, and I'm not going to bet on Patrick Mahomes to repeat a outlier season.
Yeah, I went with Watson as well for a lot of the same reasons. I think his rushing ability is going to separate him. So I went with Watson. I'm curious why Russell Wilson was in this group.
I was coming up with four quarterback names. Who would you have put in except for Russell Wilson?
I probably would have thrown Rodgers in there, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, Russell had a phenomenal year last year, but he was super efficient. I don't know that he can do that again. I think he'll be a top 7 or 8 QB. I just don't see him being a top 4 again. But I probably would have put Rodgers in there.
Well, I will say this. Russell Wilson was the lowest vote getter of the four on the poll. And Aaron Rodgers actually tied him via write-in votes.
Oh, okay. So I was on the right track.
Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers easily could have been in there. But running away with it, 50% of the votes went in for Mr. Patrick Mahomes. Congratulations, Mr. Patrick Mahomes.
I'd like to accept this award on behalf of my cool hair and my dad, who used to pitch in the Major League Baseball League with the Red Sox and the Twins, and I think he played for the Mets for a little bit. I'm going to try to go out there and throw me some 50 touchdown passes again this year for y'all. Damian Williams for life. It's Damian season.
Wow. Thank you, Patrick Mahomes.
Don't forget the ketchup on the steak. So, yeah, what a
I can't believe
take.
He survives in Kansas City with those kinds of feelings towards steak.
It's true. Seriously. In the barbecue capital of the world, and you're putting ketchup on steaks. Ugh, what's wrong with you?
Hands only. Maybe I should play for the Steelers.
Well, congratulations, Patrick Mahomes, on the top quarterback nomination. So then we move over to running backs. The nominees are, from the Saints, Alvin Kamara. From the Carolina Panthers, Christian McCaffrey. From the New York Football Giants, Saquon Barkley. And from the Dallas Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott.
That's name isn't Tony Pollard. I was told he's the GOAT. I went with Christian McCaffrey on this one. He's been my 101 all season. As a quick breakdown as to why, in 30 seconds or less, Deary Sanders, solid floor, no character issues, no real health issues, the best offense that the Panthers have ever had under Cam Newton. I think he's going to flourish. Alvin Kamara still has Latavius Murray there, so there's some workload concerns, but I think his ceiling is limited. And then Saquon Barkley, I don't think that Giants offense is going to be very good, so the scoring opportunities aren't going to be there for Barkley, and that concerns me. Plus, he could touch the ball 300-plus times. I don't know. He's a great prospect and a great player. There's just something about Barkley this year that just scares me off a little bit. And then Zeke, if we knew that Zeke was going to be in camp, ready to go, he would be right there with McCaffrey for me at the 101. His touchdowns are going to regress positively this year if he plays 16 games. Like, Zeke's the type of player that could score 20 touchdowns, a la Todd Gurley a couple years ago.
Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of people we're very scared of Zeke, and I'd be interested to see these poll results if Zeke does sign tomorrow, and we put this poll back out, if Zeke would have a better standing in this poll. So, with that being said, it was close between two of them, but the winner is, from the Carolina Panthers, Christian McCaffrey.
Deary Sanders!
So, you know, congratulations to Christian McCaffrey. We actually only had one player get write-in votes here. Now, there were multiple write-in votes, but it was all for the same player, that being Dalvin Cook.
Oh, Dalvin, you know, Cook, they were here seeing that preseason run, and people started drooling, including myself. yeah, that's hearty that Dalvin Cook was getting those write-in votes as a top four.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think people are buying the hype, and I apologize. I didn't mention the write-ins for the quarterbacks. We had the names of Jared Goff. Carson Wentz was in there a few times. Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, like I said. And then Matt Ryan. So
I'm fading Matt Ryan this year. Every other year he's good. This is the year he's not good.
This is his off year.
Okay. This is his off year. I don't care that he's got 13 games indoors. Every other year it's consistent. Look at his stats.
Well, just is every other year he has a bad coordinator, though. Maybe that's it.
I mean, there are different coordinators. I mean, he's already had Dirk Turdcutter a couple times.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
All right. So that moves us on to the top wide receiver prediction. And this was another close race. But top wide receivers, the nominees are, from the New Orleans Saints, Michael Thomas. From the Cleveland Browns, Odell Beckham. From the Green Bay Packers, Davante Adams. And from the Houston Texans, DeAndre Hopkins.
I'm interested to hear the write-in votes in this one. Justin, who did you vote for?
Okay, so on this one, you know, looking at it, like, these guys are all elite options. And it's obvious that any one of them could have one of those seasons and be that guy. But I voted for Davante Adams because it's Devontae, and then, okay, maybe MVS has a pretty decent season, but he's not going to be like it was whenever Jordy and Cobb were, you know, top options together. It's Davante Adams, and that's it. So, like, the volume should be there. He is a route-running genius. I don't know if you guys saw the little thing with Ocho Cinco breaking down one of his routes and it like made him cry.
No, I didn't. I gotta catch that. I love Ocho. He's one of my dudes.
Yeah, but dude, Devontae is the man, and so yeah, that was my vote for the wide receiver for the year.
So okay. I voted for DeAndre Hopkins because he's the best wide receiver in the league to me. And part of it is that he's one of my favorite players to watch every single week. So I just love DeAndre Hopkins. I think that in that offense, I mean, he's still a target hog. The guy catches everything. He's just absolutely amazing. And his target percentage, I don't think, is going to dip that much, even with Kenny Stills and if there's a healthy Will Fuller, because he's the cog in the gears that make it go for Houston. So to me, it's DeAndre Hopkins. He's absolutely phenomenal and one of my favorite players to watch. So I went with Nuck.
Okay. So by one vote,
Wow. Was it my vote, maybe?
It could have been. DeAndre Hopkins takes it down. Devontae Adams was one behind him. Michael Thomas was within 13 of the two of them.
Okay.
So, I mean, the three big guys there were Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams, and DeAndre Hopkins. So not a whole lot of love for Odell Beckham in this one, at least compared to the other three in this poll. A bunch of different write-in names. Julio got a lot of love from the write-in voters. Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, and Juju with multiple write-ins as well. I actually wrote him in on mine. I think he has an opportunity to lead the league in targets, which, you know, could turn out to be something.
I agree that he has the potential to do that, mm-hmm. but the only thing that scares me off of him for the top, I think top five is very easy. Well, not very easy, but a whole lot more easy to say. Mm-hmm. But I think the Steelers are going to reduce the amount of times they pass the ball unless they're chasing in every single game. So I don't know.
I think that defense is one of the best they've had in a long time. I don't see them chasing in a ton of games.
Yeah, so that's the only reason I think that, because they were like, what, top 10 or so in pass attempts last year?
Yeah, I don't know that off the top of my head, but I would imagine so, yeah.
I think it was something like that. It's likely that they regressed to the mean.
So part of it, the interesting thing about the Texans this year is that their strength of schedule is one of the toughest in the league, and their defense is still pretty good, but they could be behind in a lot of games, and I think that's going to insulate Hopkins from a receiving yardage standpoint.
Yeah, I agree there. I agree there. So that moves us over here to top tight end. And
Does anyone care?
Do either one of you guys want to guess how many write-in votes we got? Like how many players got wrote in for top tight end?
Six.
You think six other tight ends got written in?
I'm going to say two.
One.
Okay. One. Yeah. Okay. Oh, see, I thought you were saying like there was a lot of people that had other ideas.
No.
There's only one. Like, no. Is that Evan Engram?
It's not even Evan Engram.
What the hell?
OJ Howard.
So the only write-in vote for top tight end that we got was Jared Cook. And you know what? Evan Engram is a
great option. Oh, my God. That was my brother-in-law, Joshua.
I put four players.
I know Josh wrote Jared Cook in.
On the top tight end, I went with three players and the other option. And obviously, those three tight ends are George Kittle from the San Francisco 49ers, Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs, and Zach Ertz of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm not going to try to hold anybody in suspense here. Easily, the winner is Travis Kelce from the Kansas City Chiefs. Does either one of you have an argument to this?
No.
Exactly.
I think it's a toss-up between him and Kittle. I don't think that it's crazy to say that Kittle's situation improved.
It wasn't even close.
He should
have
more than five touchdowns this year.
Yeah, and he's getting his quarterback back. I do think that they added some receivers now. None of them have shown out, so it could still be.
Dante Pettis is coming. I don't care what anybody says.
It still could be Kittle season. I'm very much still high on him, but it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if Kelce was still the top tight end. He's just dominant, and he's honestly one of the most fun tight ends to watch in the league right now after Gronk's been retired.
Dare I say, if you own Kelce, though, and you're not a competing team, you got to sell him right now, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why okay. Why would you allow him to age out and not try to get any sort of
cash
value
that,
out
cash
of
that chip in and get a 2020 yeah. first while you can.
Yes.
And plus, oh. you should be able to get more than that.
Yeah. So then we move down to the MVP of the league.
Ooh.
Now, the four players I put up here, it's real easy for quarterbacks to win this.
It's the most, yeah, they usually do. You know, I think the last non-QB was, what, Adrian Peterson with the 2,000-yard season?
Yes, I do believe
that was
yeah,
the last one.
I mean,
one.
The players other than QB have to like go the hell off in mm-hmm. order to even be in that conversation.
They have to be historic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the four players I put up here for MVP were Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs, of the Texans, Deshaun Watson, of the Browns, Baker Mayfield, I just expect. If the Browns are successful, the media loves that kid, and yeah. you know, he's just going to be in front of the cameras. There's going to be that hype train going. And then, you know, he's always at least kind of in the conversation, Mr. Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. Now, this one easily got our most write-in votes of any category, but no one of the write-in votes got enough to
put a dent,
you know, make it close, yeah.
I can tell you who I voted for. I wrote somebody in.
Okay.
But I went defensive side of the ball.
You're Aaron Donald.
I wrote in Aaron Donald as the MVP. I think when you win Defensive Player of the Year 2 years in a row, if he does what he did last year, I think he could be in consideration for the league's MVP as the best player, because the man is an absolute freak of nature.
100%. And I can understand that. Yeah, if it's looking like he's just going to run away with a third Defensive Player of the Year award.
Like, give the man the league's
yeah,
MVP,
yeah,
for
yeah.
God's
that,
sake.
That
like,
makes sense.
It's crazy.
I will say this. I'd be interested to know if it was the same person. I'm guessing it was. But whoever wrote in Jared Cook as the top
oh
tight end.
Oh, my God. It's got to be Josh
Witrata. MVP, so
it's
I'm just
my
like,
brother-in-law from TFF like, Gurus. It's Josh. I know it is. I've already know who this is, because all he does is talk about GD Jared freaking Cook.
I'm like, all right. All the rest of them seem to be at least legitimate. Yeah, I'm glad you were the Aaron Donald, because you got to explain it. That makes a lot of sense, because I'm like, I mean, how tough would it be for a defense player to win it? But yeah, I could honestly see how if he was going for three straight where he's just a like the dominant force on defense, but like, I mean, yeah, we kind of have to. But Tom Brady, Barkley, Carson Wentz, CMC, Aaron Rodgers was shown a good bit of love here. And maybe, you know, Doug, you brought him up earlier for the quarterback one. You know, that's just a missight by me. I probably should have had Aaron Rodgers in there.
It's all good.
And then Alvin Kamara. But again, like, it's so tough for position players to win it. And you don't see not one wide receiver is mentioned in this.
Is there Jerry Rice has probably been one of the only wide receivers to win it, I believe. Did he win a regular season MVP? I think he did.
I honestly,
I want to say it was like 1988 or 1990. Hold on. Mm-hmm. You keep talking. I'll look into it.
Okay. Well, then we go down to the comeback player of the year. And it's, I had a little fun with this, because the night that I was putting all this together, the if you want to say it, news broke that Rob Gronkowski is not officially closing the door on a comeback. So I threw him up there as an option. So our comeback players of the year are currently free agent Rob Gronkowski from the Los Angeles Rams, Todd Gurley from the New England Patriots, Josh Gordon, and also from the Los Angeles Rams, Cooper Kupp.
So I voted for Josh Gordon here, okay, because he's one of the ones that to me feels like a true comeback story. I think Todd Gurley, I mean, he had a hell of a season last year, and the only thing he didn't do was anything in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So
doesn't, but aren't those, you know, those fantasy games and those nationally televised games are so important to people? Aren't those the ones that people tend to hang on to?
So are we talking comeback player of the year for fantasy or comeback player of the year for the NFL?
I was looking at this poll from a fantasy perspective myself.
Yeah, okay. I still vote Josh Gordon, because yeah, if Josh Gordon comes back and has a top 24 season, it's going to be what everybody was hoping for years. Like, he's finally got the chance to come back and prove himself. It's just a matter of if he stays clean, obviously, and I'm all here for it because I wanted to see him have another chance and stay healthy. And man, that is comeback by definition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And let's be honest, there would be a lot less like Disney type movies made if it wasn't for the comebacks. We as a country tend to eat that kind of stuff up. So I think Josh Gordon has himself quite a large fan base rooting for him to be successful, not only on the field, but off the field as well. I feel pretty good about myself on this one. There was only two write-in votes. All the other votes went to people on the poll. Sorry, Rob, you lost pretty bad. Todd Gurley, though, was second to last. So a lot of people are kind of looking at it the same way you did, Justin, where they said, well, Todd, I mean, he wasn't really bad last year. He just got injured at the wrong time. Same thing with Cooper Kupp. Cooper did well for himself in this poll, but up until the injury, Cooper was playing very well. So easily, Mr. Josh Gordon ran away with this category, dominated the votes, as he probably should have.
And just quick update, there has never been a wide receiver that has won the MVP of the league award. There's only been three first place votes: Jerry Rice, Sterling Sharp, and Randy Moss.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't think a wide receiver is going to be winning MVP anytime soon.
Okay. All right. So, our rookie of the year. I watched this one closely because one of them started off really hot, and then a guy I am really going to root for this year kind of took the lead for a bit and didn't work out that way. But the rookie of the year nominees from the Chicago Bears, David Montgomery. From the New England Patriots and possibly going to the IR, N'Keal Harry. From the Philadelphia Eagles, Miles Sanders. For the Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray. Now, I will say this. For whatever reason, Josh Jacobs just did not fall into my brain when I was putting this together. So I apologize. I probably should have had him in there, probably over N'Keal Harry. But he did get some write-in love. So, guys, who do you like in this one?
I wrote in Josh Jacobs. I think he's going to have the largest workload. I mean, I like David Montgomery. I love Miles Sanders. But they're going to be sharing carries with other gentlemen. Where Josh Jacobs, it's pretty much he's the whole show. I mean, they have Jalen Richard, who's going to catch some passes, sure. And they have DeAndre Washington. Doug Martin's on the IR. They don't really have much outside of those guys. So I think Josh Jacobs is going to touch the ball 250 plus times. Obviously injury withstanding, I think Jacobs is probably set up for the most success in his rookie year. I know I think most people would probably think Kyler because he's a quarterback, but I don't know. This I'm a little concerned with the Arizona system as a whole. So I went with Josh Jacobs. I wrote him in.
And I'd be interested to see how well Josh Jacobs would have done had I put him in the four options. I think
sure.
You know, it's just a little easier for people to click one of the four buttons there and keep it moving. But winning this category, Mr. David Montgomery, congratulations. Jacobs, like I said, he did get quite a bit of love in the write-in column, so I probably should have had him up there. And then our last category is sleepers. Sleepers are so fun because everybody has their favorite sleeper, somebody that they can pick up late in drafts or they can trade for on the cheap, and they expect them to have a big return. So quite a few repeats in here, but some of the names that got the most love: Sam Darnold, Mark Andrews, Justice Hill all over the place in this one. Somebody actually wrote in Ronald Jones.
Tyler. Did anyone write in Jared Cook, Josh?
No Jared Cook in
Thank
this
God.
One. Debo Samuel got a vote. Okay. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside with a couple votes. Ooh. Here's one that, I mean, I'm not saying it's off the wall, but I would never personally put this name in there. Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd got himself a vote in this one.
A sleeper? Okay.
Yeah, but then also people wrote in things like Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz, things like that. So, I mean, maybe I need to put like a definition on there. sure. next time.
Like, but not drafted anywhere near the top, like, yeah. handful of rounds. I put Sam Darnold.
Okay.
I know that Tyler loves Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. He's been getting a lot of love. I think he's set up for success this year. He's looked great in the preseason, and I think he makes a leap in year two. So I think he could be a fringe potential QB1, like in that 12 to 15 range this year. So I think that is what I would define as a sleeper, a guy that can jump up, because he's being drafted, I think, in startups as QB 24.
Mm-hmm.
Right in that, yeah. I got him super late in Scott Fishbowl. He's my number three quarterback, and I got him super late, and that's a super flex format. So I think Darnold is going to make the jump this year.
Well, with 26 write-in votes, Doug, you nailed it. Whew. Sam Darnold is the write-in sleeper award winner. I was actually one of them as well. I think I know who one other one was. I was talking to somebody about taking the old poll here. And
old poll. Hey.
Hey-o. And I know they're a big-time Sam Darnold lover late in drafts. But, yeah, I'm completely with Tyler on that. I love Sam Darnold late in drafts. I love him on the cheap in trades, especially in Superflex. People still aren't respecting him there. And I 100% can see how in 12 months' time we're talking about Sam Darnold as being a top 10 quarterback in the league. He showed that kind of growth in the last month of the year. This is called buying into the preseason hype, but every drive he came out and played for in the preseason, he looked like he was lights out. He's got a grasp of an offense very quickly, it seems. He's got good control of the team and his weapons around him, and they've done nothing but add to those weapons around him as well. So I really, really, really like Sam Darnold as a sleeper this year, personally.
Awesome. That rounds up the awards. That's a great show. Now we're gonna give Tim the hook. I'm gonna get us out of here. I'm gonna get you out of there. You can enjoy your Labor Day. Hopefully, you know, you're getting together with family. Maybe you're doing some barbecue. Maybe you're just chilling, getting ready for your kids to go back to school if they haven't already. My son starts first grade on Tuesday, so after Labor Day, which is super convenient for me. So thank you to the Cranston Public School System for doing that and not bringing us before the holiday, because that's just a sycophant move.
My kids are 2 weeks in already.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm ready for the big day on Tuesday. I don't know that my son is, but, hey, he's got no choice. I'm just going to push him through the doors and be like, hey, report to room 104. See you later, pal.
Doug, you say that. There's a little, like, whiteboard downstairs in our living room that, you know, we keep, like, important dates and things throughout the month on there. Mm-hmm. And then on the right-hand side, people just kind of, like, write down, like, ooh, vacation in, 5 days. Boom. First day of school. My oldest comes home from school and writes down 174 days till no more school or something. I'm like,
wow.
Oh, like enjoy counting? That countdown. So
hey, as long as they stay consistent with it, they'll probably won't miss a day, and they'll just keep counting it down and counting it down. Yep. So that's going to do it this week. So again, make sure you check out mybookie.com. Make sure you check out Trophy Smack. Again, it's code DHHRING for that. I've been your host, Doug Eddy. I'll see you again in a few weeks. And then I promise, not that you tune in to hear me anyway, but I promise that I'll be here consistently after that. It's just been a crazy 6 week stretch for me. So thank you for Tim for filling in and being incredible during his segment with the awards on this episode. And thank you to Justin for not only for being a great, like, out of the bullpen. I know you've been getting a lot of use lately. We got to watch for Tommy John surgery. You're getting a lot of innings. It's late in the season. We want to save you a little bit for the playoffs come October. So we're going to give you a little bit of a break here soon. We don't want playoffs, you to blow your arm out.
Tyler's baby.
Yeah, that's true. We got Tyler's baby. Yeah, it's still Panda Watch for the Gunther child. So we'll see when that happens. I feel it's going to be any day now. I feel it'll be any day now. And then we'll have pictures on Twitter and be like, oh, what a cute baby. It'll be great.
And we'll know the it. We'll know the it.
We'll know the it. Hopefully it's not cousin it with all that hair. So that's going to do it this week for Dynasty Happy Hour. Make sure you check us out on patreon.com if you want that extra episode, and search Dynasty Happy Hour. We're about to record that right now. So if you liked what you heard, go on Patreon, sign up. We'll get you that extra podcast that you've been just yearning for. And make sure to check out dynastyhappyhour.com. All your rankings, we've got articles, everything's over there. You can do your own rankings if you like and put it up against our analysts. I almost mess that word up every time. You know why. So we'll see you again next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH underscore Tim, Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.